In the last session, I delivered the first message on the things the Lord hates. Holy eyes and lying tongues. I talked about Jezebel, who came up with an evil scheme to kill an innocent man. And also I talked about Delilah, who caused great damage to Samson, and also 400 false prophets who lied. You know, they tell people to lies. People tell lies to seek their benefit and to take something from others and to harass and give hard time to others and even kill them. So those who are lied, those who are told lies about, they have to suffer so much. So thinking about this, the consequences of the lies, we must keep in mind we must never do these evil things. We have to always pray to become truthful men, truthful individuals. And we'll continue to delve into the types of lies. Sometimes you don't keep your word, so as a result, it is a lie. You didn't lie right from the start with an evil intention, but you can't keep your heart or your word. That was the case with Peter. Matthew 26:33 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Also he said, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' But when he was threatened of his life, he denied the Lord." Those who like to stand up front, who love speaking, who love boasting, bragging, these people, they make these, these people tend to make these, mistakes. There are endurance and self-control in the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. So, we must not speak recklessly. Sometimes you make a vow recklessly without much consideration. And if you don't keep your vow before God, that is a lie. That means you lie to God. So it's a great sin, especially like in revival meetings when your problems are resolved, so you make a vow to give a certain amount of offering to God. So then, if you can afford it, if you can make it, then it's good. But sometimes you make a vow to give to God an amount which you can never give for the rest of your life. So sometimes you just make a promise, let's have dinner together, let's have something together. And they make these promises lightly and they don't keep them. So these are actually lies. Of course, you might say, this is not important. There's no weight on it. But if you become a truthful person, you don't even speak these little lies. The truthful children of God, they don't speak these little things either. You make up your mind and you don't keep it. So the Father doesn't want this kind of thing. So even if you are full of the Holy Spirit for the moment, you have to carefully think about whether you can really keep your word. But of course, there are some times where you make a vow by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, very clear inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and if you make a vow and then keep it, then you'll receive great blessings. But so you have to have the discernment whether it is your voice or your thought or the voice of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, I will not deny you even if I have to die with you. Of course, he didn't want to lie. He was truthful at the moment. But because he was still flesh, his words became a lie. So we have to understand the attribute of flesh, that it changes. Unless we are completely totally changed. We cannot know ourselves. People think they know themselves, but actually they don't. They make up their mind. They feel something. And they think they are saying the truth. They are speaking out of a truthful heart. But not everything is true. As long as we have flesh, we change. Flesh has the attribute of changing. So we have to cast away all flesh so that we can be completely truthful. No, you see smokers in the world, they make up their mind to quit smoking, but unless they are very special, usually, you know, they can't keep their resolution. They make up their mind, so with strong determination, but they can't keep their word. They can't keep their decision. It's the same in faith. Even if you are faithful today, you cannot for sure tell about tomorrow. If you lose your grace, then you might get disappointed or you complain. Men of flesh, they soon change their mind. So if that is why it's false, those who are truthful, even if it is not beneficial for you, you keep your word, you keep your promises, even if it causes damage to you. This is true. That is why we have to cast away flesh as soon as possible. Mostly because of our benefit, we change our mind. Especially newcomers, new believers, when they meet God for the first time and are full of the Holy Spirit, they profess that they will be faithful until death. They love God so much, and they will never leave the church. They love the worship service. They love God. They love the Lord. But soon, after several months, we can see their determination fades away. It's because their profession came out of flesh, not complete spirit. So their profession cannot be completely true. So the leaders have to help them so that their professions can be really true. So they make up their mind to do something, but then they change their mind, and then they repent, and then they repent, and then they change, they transform, they cast away their changing mind. So I hope you will not be disappointed. Sometimes pastors and leaders, they always pray that they will have truthful members, believers, you know, full of grace, who love meeting together, gathering together, praying, and who love reading the Bible, who love listening to sermons. And they say, oh, how come I didn't come to know about Mamin Church before? I'm so happy to be here. And the leaders, pastors, they are so happy about these members. So they are happy, and they also invest a lot of things in them. But soon they change. They said they stop praying. They don't come to the meetings anymore. Or sometimes they lose their faith. Then the leaders, they should advise them not to get disappointed, as because they are still flesh. They might change. They might still have changing mind. So even if they find out that they have changing mind, they must not get disappointed, but they have to keep on going to cast away changing mind. But also, you shouldn't just get disappointed at them, you know, just because they have changing mind. And as long as we have flesh, we might change our mind anytime. Our attitudes might change. So, but how were we changed to have cast away changing minds? How was this possible? God the Father has been enduring with us. Our shepherd has been enduring and bearing with us. He always trusted us, and He always prayed for us. That is why we have been changed, transformed. So we have to do the same for the layman members. Also, even if we are leaders, the enemy devil will try to make us tell a lie by breaking our promises and by not keeping our words. Matthew 26:41 says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So how can he make the flesh, this weak flesh, strong? 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." So we have to keep on praying so that we will always change into a complete man of truth. Only when we are completely changed into the truth, our professions will be true. We will compare Saul and David so that we can understand the difference between fleshly profession and the truthfulness of a man of spirit. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, Saul took 3,000 soldiers to kill David. And there was a cave, and Saul was taking a rest, and he fell asleep. But inside, deep inside that cave, was David and his men. So the men of David, they wanted to kill Saul. But because David was good-hearted, he said he couldn't kill an anointed man of God. So he just took an edge of the robe of Saul. And after Saul woke up, he went outside and went his way. And from a distance, David cried out to Saul, and he bowed before Saul. Saul tried to kill him, but David never did anything wrong to Saul. He only pursued goodness, but followed goodness, but Saul was jealous and he tried to kill David with 3,000 soldiers. But David didn't have any hard feelings against Saul. Even though he had a chance to kill Saul, he didn't. And he bowed down before the king, Saul, calling, "My Lord." And he showed the edge that he cut off from his robe and proved that he didn't have any intention to harm King Saul. And Saul's heart was moved. I tried to kill him. But David, even when he could have killed me, he didn't. And he felt the goodness of David. And he was so moved that he began to weep out loud. And in 1 Samuel 24:20-21, "Now behold, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. So now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's household." He acknowledged the fact that David would become the king, and he entrusted his descendants into the hands of David. At that time, Saul, he professed truthfully. Otherwise, he could have commanded his soldiers to catch David. But he was moved by the goodness of David. And with tears, he praised the goodness of David. And acknowledged David's goodness. So did he keep his word? No. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, we can see that he tried to kill David again. Saul was a man of flesh who changed his mind. Because he was a man of flesh, his professions were lies eventually. So in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. And he proved his innocence. So in chapter 26, when King Saul came to kill David, David had another chance to kill Saul. So what did David say? "I treated him with goodness and I let him go, and still he tries to kill me again. So I'm done with it. I'm I'm fed up. God gave me this chance, and I will this time kill him. Did he think so and did that? No. He only had truth in him, goodness in him. So even though he had the second chance to kill Saul, he didn't. He treated him only in goodness, and he sent him away. So this is goodness that never changes. You don't calculate one time, two times, three times, and then you do goodness, you do good three times, and then, oh, I did good three times and still he is evil, so he has no chance, so I will kill him. No, you don't say that. Goodness is not something like that. So men of goodness, they keep on showing goodness until the end. But in case of King Saul, he received this grace from David that he was so touched and moved. He wept. And even in chapter 26, he was moved again. But he just kept on doing evil and he was punished for his evil. So only when we become a completely truthful man, our professions will be completely true. If you have a lot of flesh, regardless of your intention, your evil, your flesh will come out. The more evil you have, the more chances of changing your word, changing your promises, not keeping your promises. So there are many cases where you profess something good, but you don't keep your word. But those who change, they didn't know that they would change. You know, they were moved, so they were shedding tears. And so they were professing with tears that they received God's grace and they would do good, do well. But they didn't know that they were going to change. So through these people, through these cases, we can look back on ourselves. Before saying that he changed his mind, so he is an evil person, let us realize first that about ourselves. And we have to try to walk in the light. We see so many people who changed their minds. They were healed of incurable diseases. They received solutions to their life problems, various life problems. And they said that they would devote themselves for God's kingdom. But they go back to the world. They love the world. And also they show evil acts toward the shepherd who lead them only with goodness. But we shouldn't just say those people are evil, but we have to also check ourselves as to whether we have that kind of evil or not. And we also have that kind of evil, so we have to just keep on trying to change ourselves. So when we see these evil things, we long for goodness. This evil, it is this evil that causes harassing and giving hard time. So that is why we want to cast away this evil, envy, jealousy, love of the world. Many of you say that you want to cast off all these things. You don't think that, you're not the ones who are harassing the shepherd. But you think that you might also have that kind of evil and you try to cast away that evil. So what about David? He kept his promise with Jonathan, and he kept his oath with Saul. He found the man from the household of Saul, and he showed mercy to the son of Jonathan, and he considered him. He let him eat at his table, like his own son. David was a man of spirit, recognized and acknowledged by God, so he kept his word. So we have to keep all the promises that we make with anybody. Oh, you shouldn't just say, oh, I don't lie, but you have to always check yourselves as to whether you keep your promises with people, promises with yourself. So we have to keep even the little things, especially men of spirit. They keep their words. You know, if they tell a lie, they can't stand it because of, they can't stand their pangs of conscience. But those who are evil, even if they lie, they don't have pangs of conscience. So this is the clear difference between spirit and flesh. So we have to cast away flesh quickly and pick up a truthful life, life of truth. Also, there is a white lie. And God doesn't consider it so much to say it's a sin. Because it's sometimes you have to tell these white lies to give life, for life. One of the examples is Rahab, who hid the spies of Israel in the city of Jericho. So when the men of the king of Jericho were sent to catch the spies of Israel to Rahab's house, she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. She hid them, but she lied that I don't know where they are. They went, so please pursue them quickly. So she was only following the will of God, so it is not a sin. Also, before the sons of Israel came out of Egypt, the Pharaoh gave an order to kill all the boys of Hebrew boys, newborn boys. But the midwives, they told a lie. It's also a white lie. Also, there is a tale when this deer was being chased by a hunter. The man hid the deer and lied to the hunter. So, does that mean we can tell white lies all the time because it's not sin? It's not. It doesn't. It is more appropriate and more proper not to tell even white lies. So we should try to avoid this kind of a situation where we have to tell white lies. Jesus didn't even say any white lie. He avoided such situations wisely, or he just kept his mouth shut. And he never told a lie. Some people, they just tell lies. And they say it's a white lie. You have to pray for wisdom so that you will avoid such situations. And so we have to try to cast away any kind of lie, especially for our own benefit. If you tell a lie, that is not acceptable to God. And lying tongue is hated by God. If you tell a lie all the time and pass judgment and condemnation on others and slander others and pray that, Father God, please answer this prayer, then will you be able to receive the answers? And you say, oh, I tried hard. I gave offerings. I worked for the kingdom of God, and how come I don't receive the answers? That's just not right. God is in righteousness and truthfulness. So let us take after God, who is true, and let us have truthfulness in us, integrity in us. In doing so, I hope you will receive quick answers and blessings and love. Third is the hands that shed innocent blood. There are some people who shed the blood of innocent people. It was Saul. Saul didn't punish sinners. he tried to kill, he killed innocent people because of his own evil. He tried to kill David, who was innocent. It is the hand that tries to shed the blood of the innocent. Of course, Saul didn't make it. Saul couldn't actually kill David, but because it wasn't allowed by God. But that doesn't mean, because he tried to do it. So it is the hands that shed innocent blood. Also, just because they helped David, the priests and the people, just because they helped David, Saul annihilated the whole city of Nob. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verses 18 to 19 says, then the king said to Doeg, you turn around and attack the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned around and attacked the priests, and he killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod, and he struck Nob, the city of the priests, with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and infants, also ox and donkeys and sheep he struck with the edge of the sword. And just because of his jealousy against David, he did such an evil thing. But he didn't obey the word of God. God ordered him to destroy Amalek, everything there. But he brought the good things and the king, giving excuses that he wanted to give it to God. And he wouldn't follow God's command. But just because of his evil feelings, hard feelings, he killed these, annihilated these innocent people. So our evil can cause such great sin. So Cain also killed his righteous brother Abel. And those who are evil, when they see righteousness, they don't try to take after righteousness, but they become jealous. And they try to kill innocent people. They try to kill righteous and good people. So hearing this message, you shouldn't think that it doesn't apply to you, because the hands that shed innocent blood apply to only big sinners. Even today, there could be many cases. We can see this kind of example from the kings in medieval era, or when they were kings, because they have the absolute authority. You know, they can just kill anybody they want. Sometimes, you know, when they have some ministers or some leaders, when they are loved by the people, when they are very intelligent and they have a lot of people following them, and the kings, they would kill them right from the start before they become strong enough to oppose the king. You know, the kings, they are always afraid of rebellion, coups. So this kind of fear, they might lead the kings to kill innocent people. But of course, today we don't have any kings, that kind of king. And if you kill somebody, there's the law, there's law enforcement. So you cannot easily do such evil things. But that doesn't mean this evil doesn't apply to you at all. If you have that kind of authority, you might as well do these evil things. If you are doing anything evil toward those who you hate, toward those you don't like, if you slander them, or you don't like them, or you try to, you know, you get angry at them, you get irritated by them, then if you have absolute authority like the king, then you cannot guarantee that you will not do the things that King Saul did. You shouldn't think, oh, King Saul was so evil. I don't do those things, so I'm not that evil. You shouldn't think in this way. If you speak the words to oppress others, if you try to win in the argument, you might think this is something small, but if you have the power, then that evil will increase, definitely. it'll become, you will become, so you will have, you have to have the wisdom with which you apply yourself in the case of King Saul. If you have the kind of power and authority to kill at your will those you don't like, then would you restrain yourself? So let us check our hearts whether we have the kind of evil. And this kind of evil is such great evil that God hates so much. So we have to realize it from our heart and cast it away. It shouldn't even come out. So that is why we have to find it right from our heart and cast it away. And we have to keep in mind that such sins will not go unpunished. King Saul, not just himself, but his children, had to face wretched death because of his sins. All his children had to be put to death as God's part of God's punishment. Also, Cain received the curse of the earth. He couldn't get, even with his toil, he couldn't get any harvest from the earth, and he had to wander around. And he had to always be afraid of other people, calling him names or considering him murderer and trying to kill him. So when we do evil, when they do evil, when people do evil, the punishment might not come right away. And they just keep on, it looks like they keep on going. But there is certainly punishment sometime. And also, we can talk about Pilate, the governor. Of course, he knew. Of course, the sin of the Jews, high priests, elders, you know, who were jealous of Jesus and who accused him, falsely accused him, their sin is great. But also, Pilate, his sin is also great. He knew that Jesus was innocent because he knew everything. And he knew that the high priests and elders of the Jews, they handed Jesus over to him because of their jealousy. So he tried to release Jesus, but the Jewish leaders, they kept on shouting that they had to crucify him. So Pilate was afraid that there would be chaos, some kind of a demonstration, rebellion. So he was afraid and he just gave Jesus to them. You know, as they wanted, he gave out Jesus for crucifixion. And he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. He had a little bit of conscience. He knew Jesus was innocent. Jesus didn't have anything to be accused of crucifixion. But because of your request, I'm giving him out for crucifixion, so I'm not responsible. He wanted to say he was not responsible. But just saying that, just washing his hands, that doesn't mean he was innocent. That doesn't mean he was not responsible. Even if he gave out Jesus because of the request of the people, he was the one who had the authority to sentence him to death. Of course, the authority of life and death belongs to God, but he had the physical authority to whether to give out Jesus or not, or release him. So, but because of his conscience, he knew he was doing something wrong, but he still did it anyway. Because of because just to save your face, you stand by evil. This is not acceptable. That there is a good man who is wrongfully accused, falsely accused. But he was falsely accused by a powerful person. So you just don't want to stand by him. Because if you stand by him, you might also suffer together from the person who has the power. Then that is not right. So when you follow righteousness, you have to be confident. If you just keep quiet about righteousness, that is not the attitude of a disciple of the Lord. Especially in case of Pilate, knowing Jesus was completely innocent, he still gave out Jesus to crucifixion. So He was not innocent at all. He was said, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. Because he had a little bit of conscience. But the people who heard it, they said something so immense. They said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. We have to understand, the power of the tongue is so great. It is the power to kill or give life. It is in your tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I said, the Jews, they said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. So they had to pay for what they did. Israel was conquered by the Roman soldiers in 70 AD. So there came diaspora. They were dispersed everywhere in the world. And during the Second World War by the Nazis, they were killed and tortured so much, so many of them. You know, even death convicts, they put nice clothes and they give them their last wish. You know, maybe give them a nice meal before they are killed. But when the Jews were executed, they were executed naked because they killed their Savior naked. They also and mocked him, and their deaths were also they were also killed naked. And because they shed the innocent blood, they received the retribution. So God hates the hands that shed innocent blood so much. David also shed innocent blood. He killed a righteous man, Uriah. Of course, he didn't intend to kill this innocent man right from the start. Because of his sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, he tried to cover it up, and then things didn't go as he planned, and finally he killed this righteous man, Uriah. And he had to pay for it completely, as God, he had to receive the retribution. Of course, you don't actually shed innocent blood in real life by killing somebody or something like that. But so you might not really feel that it really applies to you. So that you can really feel it in your life, the Lord gave us an example. Suppose the senior pastor or somebody higher, they praised somebody. But you are not really close to this person, the one who is praised. And you don't like him so much. Then, hearing the praises, you become jealous. And you are thinking of his negative points. And you talk about it. And you even gossip about it. And also you pass judgment. Oh, I saw that he was trying to butter up, his leaders. So you make this kind of judgment and you are committing this kind of sin. And this is to shed innocent blood just by slandering and gossiping. And is it really shedding innocent blood? Is it such a grave sin? You shouldn't think this is something small. You're slandering, and suppose they are hearing this slander. They are listening to this gossip. Suppose they know about this gossip. Then how much will they suffer? So you have to understand, this is same as shedding innocent blood. But of course, it's not exactly the same as murdering somebody. But it is the same attribute, sinful nature. In the New Testament era, hating somebody is a spiritual murder. So in this context, if you are jealous of somebody and if you slander somebody, it is same as shedding innocent blood. We have bullies in case of Japan, ijime, they give hard time to the weak, those who are not really, you know, you don't hang out in schools. You know, you don't hang out with them, and you leave them out of everything. And sometimes you give them hard times, you hit them, or you ask them, you tell them to bring money, or how evil is this? The students, even little young teenagers, they have these evil things. We are all grown-ups, and in society, we can't do these evil things. But we still have judgment and condemnation and cursing others in our heart. We have all of those things in our heart and in our thoughts. So they are still great evil. So when they bully others in schools, alienating these, picking on other students, they also, through SNS, social network services, like Facebook or other things, you gossip about these kids, other classmates, and pick on them and bully them on the social network services. And so they can't go to school. They feel this gossip is spreading, and these kids who are being picked on, they can't go to school. They sometimes kill themselves. So all these things, when they grow up, they can't really do it in the society because of the law and everything. But they still have these evil things in their heart, you know, slandering others, cursing others. So we have to check our hearts as well, as to whether we have these evil attributes or not. Suppose there's another example given by the senior pastor. There is a person who dresses well, and other people pass judgment. He is receiving charitable work from the church. He's supposed to be very poor. How come he is wearing fancy clothes? But in the view of the senior pastor, he is faithful. He's a faithful worker to the church. But those who are slandering him, those who are passing judgment on him, they are the ones who give hard time to many people, who are causing troubles in the church. But they don't realize their own evil. Those who are dressing well, maybe they have had the clothes for a very long, long time, or maybe others gave it to them. It's not really a sin to dress well. So they are gossiping and slandering him completely out of evil. So this is also great evil, shedding innocent blood. So if you are full of evil heart, you always try to pass judgment and condemnation about the things that don't agree with you. When others are praised, you know, when those who hate, if they receive, those you hate, if they receive praises, then you don't like it. And you try to bring them down so much. And these things are all caused by your envy, jealousy, judgment, and condemnation. If you have any of these attributes, you have to realize that you also have the hands that shed innocent blood. But they are not only these hands that shed innocent blood, they are not only about words and actions. Nowadays, because of the social network services, they cause damage to others on the internet. They create false rumors to cause so much pain for others, and they drive them even to death. Some celebrities, they suffer because of the very spiteful, hostile comments on the internet. And some people, because of internet slander, they commit suicides. So if they're caught, and when they're asked why they did it, they just say, "Oh, I just delivered what others said, and it was just a prank. It was just a joke. I didn't really think about it. It was just speculation. I didn't think it was going to be this serious." So they don't think about the people, they don't think about the sufferings that other people will have. And so there is defamation or false accusation on the internet. Defamation is to bring down the name of other people with truth or falsehood. So in Korea, the punishment for defamation, if you publicly state the fact and bring down, defame a person, it is a 2 years of imprisonment or fine of $5,000. Or if you publicly state falsehood and defame somebody, it is 5 years of imprisonment, 10 years of suspension of your title, and $10,000 of fine. Also, there is a false accusation. It is a, you create something. And especially on the internet, because of the power of the internet, you know, that spreads so quickly, there is a grave, weightier punishment. So those who defame others on the internet, it is a 1 more year, 3 years of imprisonment or less. And if you, on the internet, post a falsehood and defame somebody, it is 7 years or less imprisonment, or $50,000 of fine or less. So this is very, it causes a social problem in the society. And also about false accusation, there is a severe punishment. And even in the world, saying something false about others to defame and slander, it is a sin, it is a crime, even by the world, standard of the world. And what would God say about it? Even in the church, and if you gossip and slander and falsely accuse pastors and leaders of the church, we hear such things. And there are some people who try to attack this church who only tries to good things. And we have to wisely react to this. We can never react with evil or fight back, but we can be protected by the law. So those who falsely accuse, we will begin to deal with this kind of false accusations. Of course, it is goodness to be patient and wait. And because we are being patient and we wait for them to repent, so they keep on, because we are patient. If they keep on trying to attack us and give hard time to the church members, and how can you say this is also goodness? So those who are creating false accusations against God, the church, and the senior pastor and the church members, it is not goodness in God either. So we will now begin to deal with this. And also in goodness. And also I hope you will speak only words of goodness. There shouldn't be any slander or evil words. Only let us speak edifying words that are worthy of a praise of God. Let me conclude a message. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 10 to 15 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' Let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit, like in today's reading passage, shedding innocent blood. If sinners entice you, do not consent. Then why would the evil people try to shed innocent blood? The reason is explained in the following verses. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. And it also talks about what kind of punishments will fall on those who shed innocent blood. Proverbs 1:16 says, "For their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood." Indeed, it is useless to spread a baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So when they ambush, it means they ambush their own lives. They ambush to shed innocent blood, but they will shed their own blood. So they ambush, looking for somebody righteousness, somebody righteous, somebody innocent, trying to kill them and take the spoil. But in fact, it means they ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Giving hard time, taking away to others, taking their lives, it'll all go back to themselves. That's the word of God. So for the momentary benefit or evil hard feelings, if you do evil to others, it means you are killing, you are taking your own life. Spirit gives life. Even to those who are acting in evil toward us, we show goodness. So these good people are the ones who will go to New Jerusalem. So I hope you will only follow and pursue the way of goodness. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. heal accidents after effects, restore their ruptured and broken bones, restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.